Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Living Astrology with host Janet Hickox, intuitive astrologer and human design consultant, and her co-host Jason Levanis, intuitive tarot card reader and teacher, as well as feng shui consultant. At Living Astrology Radio, we are committed to empowering people to reach for the stars. Now enjoy the show. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Living Astrology. I'm your host, Janet Hickox, and I do believe my lovely Greek god co-host, Jason Levanis, is on the line. Are you there, Jason?
Yes, I is. How art thou?
I am stellar, and I know you're not stellar quite yet, but hopefully you're on your way to stellar.
Yes, for all the people that overlap and listen to both you and myself, I dealt with one of those 24, 48-hour boogs, and it's been really fun. But I feel up to the task, to the challenge of abusing as many people as I can with you on the air. So for all those people, be patient, because I'll come back this week with episode 2. Tell me, where can people get in touch with you for a reading?
Ah, if someone would like a reading, and this, trust me, is after you hear today's show, you are going to say, man, I need a reading from Janet and from Jason, because life is lighting up. And they can go to my website at www.living-astrology.com. And there are free charts that you can get there. I'm actually going to put up in a day or two access to a free Mercury retrograde chart. And yes, folks, you heard me correctly. Mercury is getting ready to go retrograde, so it's time to take a look at your chart and see what's up there. And for those of you who might want to get a card reading, and let me tell you that Jason Levanis is awesome. You go to his website at www.titillatingtarotwithjasonlevanis.com. And
you're the best.
I am actually very titillated today. Can you tell in my voice?
I can. You have a lot of titty in your voice.
So, titillated because I don't know if any of you all have heard, like, what's been going on here in Washington State, but we have been inundated with over 12 months worth of rain in the last 5 months of this year. Or,
no kidding.
You know, 5 months going back. And so it has seemed like one endless slog after another. And today the sun came out. I mean, the skies are those Seattle cerulean blue.
Here comes
exactly.
The sun.
And I went outside barefoot for the first time in God knows how long. And
you're giving me hills are alive with the sound of music. That's what you're giving me right now?
Yeah, if I could sing, that might be a song I'm singing. Because lately we've been singing in the rain and singing in the more rain and more rain again. So it's always so uplifting up here. I mean, we literally worship the sun up here. When it comes out, everybody goes outside. And here I am on the radio show with you fine people talking about astrology when I could be outside in the sunshine. But well, I can't give up one passion for the other.
You should have Myrna, you should have a headache maybe. Try it with that one.
So, today's show.
So, what do you got for me today, lady?
I was just getting to that, so I'm jumping the gun. I've obviously had way too much tea today. Today, we are going to be talking about the transits for the spring. And It's quite the wiggy one. So that's why I think people are going to really enjoy having a reading or really want to have a reading, because things are going to be a little bit, you know, not like they haven't already been wonky. I mean, life has been a little crazy, upside down and all that. But as of this particular new moon, which just occurred March 27th at 7.5 degrees or so of Aries, things are all rolling, right? The new moon in Aries is sort of the harbinger of what things happen for the foreseeable future, because it's the first new moon of the astrological new year. So you knew that, right? That Aries is the opening sign to the zodiac?
Yeah, the fire.
Right.
Yes, the fire.
The fire. So we are on fire. Literally, I was looking for the video YouTube video of the song Fire by somebody. Ohio Players. The Ohio Players.
Yes. Wow. I just didn't get time
to download it and get it all uploaded and, you know, all the crud I would have had to go through to get it. But literally, that is where we are, people. We are on fire, and it's getting toastier. It's getting hotter. And so it all began on Sunday, Monday, with the new moon at that 7.5 degrees or so of Aries. And that new moon happened to be conjunct Venus retrograde. Literally on March 25th, so 2 days before the new moon, the sun had conjuncted Venus. Actually, I should say Venus conjuncted the sun. And so what we see when that happens is sort of a rebirth, right? It's like Venus has been the night star or the night planet, and she's been diving ever closer to the sun. And now she's coming back from, you know, how fire can be cleansing and can sort of create a newness. It's like the phoenix, right, who bursts into flames and dies through ash and then comes back reborn. Well, that's exactly what Venus does. And she is now being reborn, or in the process of being reborn, as the morning star. At the moment, we can't see her. She's too close to the sun. They're rising basically in tandem with one another. But as time goes on here, we will be able to see Venus emerge as the morning star. And that's also a harbinger of things to come. You know, the Maya used to believe that when Venus changed to the morning star, that there would be social change and social upheaval. They believed a king might die, or that some other sort of war or fight might start happening. Now, we've long since gone past that, but certainly to me, when I see Venus aflame and in a flaming fire sign like Aries, it usually presages some form of maybe some kind of creative outburst, or, you know, some wonderfully new opportunity for all of us out there, something that we can join into as an adventure. And not to mention, though, however, because I always like to, you know, I'm overly optimistic typically. I'm always giving you all the high side of everything. But on the more shadier side of things, Aries energy can be impulsive. And it can also be sort of the energy of acting. Well, I guess that is the definition of impulsiveness, acting before one thinks. But in this case, we want to be careful that we temper some of the actions that we take so that we are not blowing ourselves out of the water. But it's not just the sun in Aries or the moon that was in Aries or Venus retrograde in Aries, because there's also Uranus and Eris and Mercury in Aries.
Oh, my God,
so if you want to see,
you're losing me.
I'm doing the fire, 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 fire dance. Be on fire in the dance. So,
okay.
Then, remember I said we are on fire? Well, this is
yes.
The beginning of a process of all of this, the potential, this creative energy. Now, fire also brings up conflict. You only have to look at our Congress any given day of the year, and you can tell there's conflict going on out there. There's revolution in the air. There's all kinds of, you know, of those pungent, fiery types of energies available. But if we keep to our own personal lives and stay out of the business of the government or anybody else, we can really see our way forward creating something from a new place, right? We have the new moon representing new. We have Venus retrograde representing us getting back to our own values and looking, checking our self-worth. We have the sun in Aries, which shines its potential for all things new, for a whole new round of the zodiac wheel. And then we're now going to add Mercury to this mix, because Mercury, in his usual dance, you know what he does. What does he do, Jason? He goes forward, he goes backwards, he goes forward, and he is about to do this again.
He fucks with my life.
He does. Well, you're not a Gemini. He messes with mine. He messes with my life. Me, being stuck on a train for 16 and a half hours in Sandpoint, Idaho.
Who I'm sure are full of lovely people, however.
Well, it would have been nice if we could get off the train and interact with some of those lovely people, but we weren't even in a city, really. We were just like on the outskirts next to some creek for God knows how many hours. That's a whole nother story. But, so we also have another fire sign energy going on, and that is the energy of Saturn in Sagittarius. And it happens on the new moon, at the new moon, happened to be forming a trine, which is a powerful free flow of energy between itself and the planet Mercury. So I thought we'd take a few minutes maybe and talk about what fire signs are, what the fire signs are, and what we can kind of expect from them. So we were talking about Aries. Aries is the sign that we consider fire because it's ruled by the planet Mars. And in the energies of Aries, we have boldness, we have creative fire, we have impulsivity, we have passion, we have everything that you think of in terms of action that is dynamic and assertive and sometimes skirting the edge of aggression. And in the astrology wheel, it actually is the ruler of the first house. So it really comes back to the self. Right? What am I creating as a being, or who am I being? And that's what we look at with Aries. Now, Sagittarius, the other player here, is a fire sign. It rules the ninth house of spirit and the higher self and our connection to our beliefs and philosophies and foreign travel and, you know, kind of it's very expansive energy. Sagittarius brings us to truth. It's adventurous. It's optimistic. And on the negative side, sometimes it can be overly righteous, self-righteous. It can be so inured in its own belief system that it can't see the forest for the trees, right? It's the, dare I say this on radio, it is the conservative movement or the over-liberal movement where they're so idealized in their own or so stuck in their own ideology, good God, that they can't see what other people need or what other people need to see from them. So interesting energy as Saturn is in Sagittarius. Now, Leo is our third fire sign, and I deliberately left it for last because technically speaking, in the grand scheme of things, it should have been second. But the Leo energy for us comes later in the spring and more like around May when the North and the South Node, which are now ending their transits through Virgo and Pisces, move over to the Leo Aquarius axis. And of course, that drives the eclipse pattern. So it sets us up for the summer eclipses across fire. And, of course, all those fire planets or the planets that are in fire signs are all going to be interacting with one another. And it makes for a very energetic, yet I think creative, passionate sort of setup for us, as long as we are steering clear of the self-righteous tendencies of the Sagittarius energies. So we've got some good stuff going. I really am looking forward to what's going to happen here as we move through the spring. Now, Venus, as we are looking at springtime here, is going to end her retrograde on April 15th. Tax day. How funny. And Venus rules money. I couldn't have planned that one if I tried. And so Venus, when she ends her retrograde, isn't through with us reevaluating ourselves or us looking at our self-worth, because she does not get herself beyond the RX zone until May 18th. And that becomes an interesting day because Mercury is also going to be changing or ending its retrogrades around that same time. So before I get to the Mercury retrograde information and some other of the retrograde information that I want to share today, I want to do a reading for our friend James Jackson, whose birthday it is today. Can you bring him in for me, Jason?
Absolutely.
Never mind, I just did it.
Hello. Hi.
Hi, James. Happy birthday.
Thank you. Thank you.
I'm sure Jason would sing to you if he was feeling better. I'm not sure you ever want me to sing to you. So suffice it to say,
I hear it in my head
birthday.
Already. Thank you.
Maybe someday Jason will sing opera for us on Living Astrology. Wouldn't that be awesome?
Oh, God. I'm not sure you want to hear that, but that's all right.
I would love it.
All right. So, James, especially for you, I pulled up your solar return chart. And, you know, for those people listening who have never had a solar return reading, it's a special reading that we do as astrologers right around your birthday. We could have actually done this maybe 30 to 60 days earlier, but it's really kind of fun to tune in to it right around your birthday so that you have completed the cycle from your previous year. And so what we see in this kind of a chart, James, is sort of the themes and the likely developments for this particular year for you. And when I say year, I don't mean 2017. I really mean the your year, which begins on your birthday and ends the day before your birthday in the following year. So
the first thing
I'm going to always look at in a solar return is, of course, the sun. And by birth, you had the sun in Aries, obviously, in the 10th house of career and profession. So that part's never going to change, right? You're always going to have a lot of ego energy, and this is not a bad thing. Ego is not a bad thing, people. But you're going to have a lot of ego energy invested in the 10th house. So you creating a career, interested in the profession that you have, and in claiming your authority in the work that you do. Now, this particular year, the sun returns to Aries in your first house of self. Now, this is pretty fascinating because remember, you know, if you were listening to what I was just talking about, Aries rules the first house. And all of the energies that are building up right now are very consistent with us personally creating a path forward for us in our lives. Using our passion, using our creative energies, being adventurous, boldly going, I might add, where others have not wanted to go before. So as we look at your chart then, I see a lot of personal focus in your career and profession, possibly even recognition and achievement, the likes of which you might not have had in the past, or at least not for in the most recent past. So this becomes what I think is a very, can I say, a hallmark year for you, because it really is one of the better times the better types of solar returns to have. It's like starting a whole new cycle of this growth as it relates to your career, but as you stand out more and more in what you do. Now, right behind the sun, of course, was Venus. Venus, she's sitting right there, and she is still encouraging you to reevaluate, because she's still retrograde on your birthday here. So you're reevaluating what steps you're going to take and how you value what you do. So, for example, sometimes it's really easy for us to get off track when we can undervalue our services or what we provide to our clients. And when we do that, of course, then we start to feel like not worthy, or that, you know, why can't I get what other people get? So the sort of qualifier here for this year is to take a really good hard look at yourself and what are you giving away versus what are you saying, you know, wait, if you want this service, then this is what you're going to pay. So you're looking at your values and you're looking at your resources in a new way. Now, here's the kicker. This is the fun part. You have 5 planets on your birthday today in the second house of money and resources earn. Yeah. Uranus, Mercury, Moon, Mars, Ceres, Eris. So there's 6. I missed Eris. How could I miss Eris? And they are attracted to or attached to your 11th house in your birth date, in your birth chart, where you also have quite a few planets, your natal Eris, your natal Mercury, natal Venus, natal Lilith, natal Mars, your natal your prenatal lunar eclipse, and your destiny. So there's a lot of a birth energy was really devoted to you having a vision and being a humanitarian and working with groups of people to help uplift them, right? To maybe help them find what they value or to find the value in themselves. So on this particular birthday, then it seems that there would be the potential for you to match what you've been doing out in the world with now the money coming in that matches what you were doing. So in other words, if you're able to reevaluate yourself and to align yourself with your worth, then other people will see that worth and pay you for your products or your services, your advice, your information, your teaching, your mentoring, whatever it is that you do out there.
Wow.
So it's beautiful. It really is a beautiful setup for you this year. And get this, I just recently discovered this, that often money in how your ability, let's say, to earn money in an astrology chart is seen through the 11th house. And so when these two are lit up, this is a year for you to make money. Now, that means you may also spend some money, right? I can't tell you it's all about just money coming in. There may be some money going out, right? Money going out. Do not get into lack consciousness here, right? Do not get into that, you know, stinky thinking, prosperity kind of lack consciousness. We don't want you there. Be willing to spend the money that you need to this year to get where you want to be in your career. All right? I want to take a look at one last thing here. I'm going to look at Jupiter. Ooh. Now, have you been thinking about taking in a new partner or venturing with somebody? What do they call that? Venture partnering or something like that with other people or another group right now?
I'm definitely open to it.
I would say that there's the potential for that to come up during this birthday year for you too. And if it does, it will be a path to growth for you. So be open to that. And the only thing that I would look at in that case is to make sure you're not giving yourself away in the partnering energy, right?
Right.
So don't.
Right.
Yeah. All right. Okay.
So true. Yeah. Oh my
gosh. Do you
have any
questions?
Oh, that just confirmed everything I was feeling for the last month and a half almost.
Ah, I love it. You know, I often tell people, in fact, I watch it in myself, right? My birthday's in June, so sometime in April, I'm going to start sort of sensing what that change is all about.
Right.
And for you, you probably started to feel this then somewhere along February about what direction things may go in, right? Because it's not like we're not without skills, intuition. You know, we have intuition, and we can sort of see the handwriting or feel the handwriting on the wall. So that is exactly what is happening for you. Don't go into fear. Don't get overly excited and lose your cool, right?
Right.
Keep doing what you're doing, and the things are going to flow. But the one big thing here is do not sacrifice your self-worth, all right?
Oof, wow. That's powerful.
Woo-hoo-hoo! James
that's
is
huge.
On fire!
That is huge.
It is. Yeah. It is. So you go out there, you do what you do, and you know, I follow you on Facebook, so I often see those wonderful posts that you the uplifting, you know, memes and things like that. Keep it up, okay? We need
you.
Thank
you so much. Oh my God, I needed you.
Right.
Thank you.
You are most welcome, sweetie. Take care and happy birthday.
Thank you.
Go celebrate.
You too. Thank you. Feel better,
right,
Jason. Thank you.
He will feel better. I promise. All right, take care, James. Okay, so I love doing readings for people on their birthday. So people, if you have a birthday coming up in the spring, here's what Jason, I just had a brilliant idea. Oh, God, I hate it when I'm like this. I think that you and I should come up with a tag team sort of package for people for their birthday.
Ooh, I really like it.
Where we incorporate a birthday reading and a birthday tarot card reading. Wouldn't that be fabulous?
Absolutely. Anytime you want to tag team some with me, honey, I am there. I am down for it.
Oh, I love that. So people start talking. Hit us up if that's a great idea. If you think that's a great idea, hit us up. And we're working on a tag team birthday reading. And for all of you out there who are spring babies, that means, you know, that you've just had your birthday late March, April, May, and into early June. This is a great time to get a reading from either Jason or I or both of us if we end up doing something like that for you, because this energy is on fire. Now, I told you before we went to James that I wanted to talk a little bit about Mercury retrograde, and I see there are a couple of other people in there that might want readings. I will get to you because I'm on fire myself today. So
I did have a quick question.
Okay.
You can have one of the listeners called in, and she asked, how will the Sag energy that you were just talking about before be affecting those that are Sagittarius, or does it just depend on what houses they land?
Well, that's a great question. So I will address that, because one of the planets that after Mercury goes retrograde is going retrograde is Saturn. Saturn is in Sagittarius. And Saturn is sitting at the galactic center. So not only will my Sagittarian friends be affected by this, but my little Capricorn friends will also be affected by this, because Saturn is your ruling planet. So that means you, my little friend.
Great.
Right. So let me talk about Mercury retrograde. Then we'll go into Saturn. And then I'll deal with Sagittarius. Okay.
Easy for you to say.
I know. No, it's not. You know, actually, yes, it is. This is easy for me to say. I'm reframing how my Mercury retrograde is going to go. And
fantastic.
So here we go, March 27th. So that was the new moon, people. We went into the shadow period of this Mercury retrograde. And we will be in the shadow of the retrograde until April 8th. Now, we know from past experience, and if you've listened to my show, you know that I always talk about that shadow period being the time of the wonkiness, right, where what you think might happen doesn't, where you have to take care in what you're doing, things are slowing down, and our communication is slowing down, and things get lost in the mail, your baggage goes to Chicago when you're in Wisconsin, blah, and things like that happen. So we are beginning that. We've been in this slowdown. The retrograde begins on April 9th and runs to May 3rd. So as we're looking at this energy of the Mercury retrograde, we're looking at it at 4 degrees Taurus and backward through to 24 degrees Aries. So when we're talking about Mercury first going retrograde in Taurus, we are again looking at that same energy of values and self-worth, right? Taurus energy is ruled by Venus, and it's very much about manifesting from our heart, manifesting from what we desire, and creativity and passion and all of that type of thing. So Mercury going retrograde at 4 degrees Taurus gives us a little bit of space, perhaps, to rethink what it is that we are doing. How do we want to express ourselves creatively in the world? Maybe we have to take a look at our concepts of lack and scarcity first, right? Maybe if we're not feeling like there are enough opportunities out there for us, then we have a more strong tendency to withdraw instead of join up with the world. So, you know, it's not always money that we think of in terms of scarcity. It can also be time. It can be opportunities. It can be people to share our work with, etc. So we're going to be looking at all of that energy. And then, of course, he is going retrograde very quickly. We'll go back to Aries territory. So we add more, you know, fire to this whole thing. And he will remain retrograde till May 3rd. And we are not clear of the shadow until May 21st, which, remember, I had said Venus also goes back to or clears the shadow May 18th. So within just a few days of one another, they clear that shadow energy, and it leaves us ready to move on personally with issues around Mercury and Venus. Now, another planet moving retrograde, Saturn. Saturn is our taskmaster planet. And as the taskmaster, he is often calling us to be more disciplined, to be more responsible, to have clear boundaries, all the things I hate as a Gemini, all the things I have trouble with as a Gemini, and all the things my friend Jason probably does not have as many problems with. However, I did say this was going retrograde. So for the time being, and Saturn stays retrograde about 4 months out of the year. So while he is retrograde, we're looking more inward again and personally at where our boundaries are, right? Where do we need more discipline? And I don't mean discipline like punishment. I'm talking about if I have a plan, then how much closer can I stick to the plan and execute the plan, right? I'm sure I drive you crazy, don't I, Jason, because I am never on the plan.
That's not true. You are.
I guess I am.
You're a B plus student.
And you know why? Because I have Saturn in Capricorn. So I do have access to some kind of discipline.
Mm-hmm.
It's the boundaries that I have issues with. Oh, gosh. So because Saturn is in Sagittarius, what we're looking at again becomes about our beliefs and our philosophies and the patterns we have developed in our lives, the boundaries we have in our lives. And this is what's really fabulous and interesting about the Saturn retrograde coming up is that it just finished passing over the galactic center. And a couple weeks ago, I think we were talking about that, or maybe weeks ago, I don't know, about how when a planet passes over the galactic center, it often is in receipt of evolutionary or consciousness-changing energy, and it then telescopes that energy to us here on the planet. Do you remember me talking about that, Jason?
Absolutely, I do.
Okay. So when Saturn, the planet of discipline and authority and authenticity and integrity, is sitting at the galactic center, what starts to happen is we start to see all the places where things are not in integrity. Notice all the secret kind of things about Russia that are being, you know, revealed and issues back and forth. I mean, out in the outer world, as far as, you know, what's been hidden from us and what is suddenly being revealed. Also, personally, we are in receipt of new information. We are being called to be in integrity. And as I've said many times on the air, integrity is not about a moral code. It is about you being true to yourself, right? So how much more can you be true to yourself is how I would read this. For my Sagittarian friends, that may mean you have to look at your beliefs. It may mean that you have to look at dogmas even, where you have had a tendency to dig your heels in. And by the way, it's not just my Sagittarius friends, because all of us have Sagittarius in our charts. So wherever you have this is where your sacrosanct beliefs might be, where you've dug in, where you're, you know, acting the fundamentalist on whatever territory it's in, and you may have to let go of some of that in order to realign yourself with where you're meant to be or who you're meant to be or where you're meant to go. So
Oh, yes.
This is an oh, yes, right? This is an oh yes time. I'm going to take this caller because I saw her drop off and then she came back. So hold on here. I'm going to bring this caller in.
All
Hello,
right.
surprise. This is Janet from Living Astrology. Who's this?
Hi, Janet. It's Carmen.
Carmen. Great. I had a suspicion it might be you. And you were the one with the Sagittarius questions, right?
Yes.
Oh, darn. So are you a Sagittarian?
No, I'm actually a Leo. But the way you explained the Sagittarius earlier and how they could just get absorbed into themselves and not be consciously aware of the things that goes on around them, it just explained my father so well. He's a Sagittarius, and we don't get along at all. He's just so self-absorbed. And he, like, I see it so bad in him. Like, he can't – it's, like, his way of thinking or it's not right. So you were dead on with that.
Yeah.
I was like, wow.
Yeah. Well, you know what's really interesting about that, and please don't take offense, is that Leos can be just as bad. energy is fire energy.
I find that in myself, too.
Yeah. And, you know, I love fire energy. I have a lot of Leo in my own chart. I have Sagittarius prominent in my chart. And so I get this energy. Sagittarius, though, I always, and I'm sure lots of people who are out there that are Sagittarians, I always have to pull them up and say, where have you dug in your heels too deep? Right? Where are you? Where are you? Mm-hmm. You know what you have as a Sagittarius is the Sword of Truth. I almost feel like, Jason, that you need to pull that card, the sword, you know, the Ace of Swords or something, because it feels so much like we're looking for truth, right? And when we think about Sagittarius, it's the archer with the arrow pointed at the galactic center. So Sagittarius is a really interesting place in the chart because it does point us in where we can paradigm shift. And we're due for a paradigm shift. It's shifting. So although I understand it's important for us to have our beliefs and that it's important for us to have, you know, sort of that compass that we can steer by, wherever your beliefs may be causing you to rub up against other people in a negative way, then we have to call it, we have to call attention to it. So, and I'm going to use an example here. So here we are with Saturn, the planet of responsibility, duty, authority, and it's really very militaristic in some cases too, right? We're looking at building a gosh darn wall against Mexico,
right?
So I look at that and I'm like, oh God, right? Here we're going to divide instead of, you know, include. And I look at that and I think, okay, but think about what it does to the people in the country, those that believe the wall is a good thing, and those that don't believe that it's a good thing, right? Immigration is a problem versus people that want the free border. And you see right there where people have dug in into their belief systems.
Mm-hmm.
And then where they dig into that belief system, it has the tendency to harm other people. And that's what that's what all this Trump thing is going on in the outer world and all that. It's all about us looking at where have we entrenched our beliefs. Where are we not being inclusive? Because he's showing us all the fears that we are holding, right? He's showing us all of our own shit, if I can say that on air. And I can because Jason says fuck all the time. And
exactly.
And so that's what we're looking at, our own stuff.
Yeah.
It's just being mirrored back to us by all those people out there. So now we have this time with Saturn at the galactic center, backing across the galactic center, and of course if it backs across the galactic center, it's going to go forward over it again, where we get to look deep into ourselves. We need to be in our own integrity. And I'm going to tell you guys something, and this is so personal, it's just hysterical that I'm even going to share it. I allowed myself to get drug into a political conversation with a relative on Facebook last week. And I could not believe that I did this, right? Bad news. Bad news. First of all, you don't talk politics, sex, religion, that kind of thing, with your relatives. And I got myself drawn into this, and it was bad. It was not good. It was not good at all. And the whole time, I could not stop myself. I kept thinking to myself, you know better than this. You know better than this.
Uh-oh.
And in the end, I went, okay, Janet, you're human, right? It was really easy to get drawn into the story, the drama, the rhetoric, and all of that. And that is what we have to heal within ourselves, right there, right? That
exactly.
That idea that just because you're stating a different difference of opinion, that you're wrong and I'm right, or I'm right and you're wrong. And so that's the Sagittarius Saturn, kind of in a little nutshell.
Wow.
So we get to burn that away, right? This fire energy here, we can burn this away. It's going to take some time. It won't be tomorrow, but hopefully we can burn away some of this and become much more inclusive, no matter what it looks like in the outer world. Okay, so Carmen, did you want me to take a look at your chart, or do I have information on you?
No, unfortunately, she doesn't have her time.
I don't have
time.
I just checked my birth certificate, and it didn't have a time on there either.
Wow.
Well, does anybody in your family have any idea of, like, what time you were born?
I want to say around closer to the early hours of the day. So I want to say from midnight-ish and on. But I have no idea what time. I've been trying to figure it out for the longest, but my mom can't seem to find that information.
Are you a night owl?
Yes.
Carmen, so what's your birth date?
August 5th, 1998.
August, not April. 1998, did you say?
Yes.
All right, and I'm going to arbitrarily choose 3 a.m. What city were you born in?
I was going to say 3 a.m. as well.
I know that. That's why I said it. I just blurt these things out.
I see my threes all the time. I'm sorry, what was your question?
Yay! What city were you born in?
Fort Langley Air Force Base in Virginia.
In Virginia.
Oh, Hampton.
So Hampton, did you say?
Mm-hmm. Hampton, Virginia.
Oops. If you spell it right, it works better. Hampton, Virginia. All right. So I'm pulling your chart up right now. So what's going on in your life right now?
I was kind of informed earlier that I have my past kind of like holding on to me, and that I have better ordeals with what I want to do. Like my karmic debt is being used by someone else, kind of, and I kind of get that from growing up. I think my childhood plays a lot into that part. And I was also aware and told that I have a great change coming within the next 3 weeks. I just have that feeling. And then lately I've just been waking up and feeling better, feeling different, feeling like myself again. I don't have all the signs put together yet.
Okay, so I'm assuming I've got this fairly close. Would you say that you're a home body kind of person? I mean, do you really like home?
Yes.
So I think we might be darn close to the right time of your birth, because it gives me a Cancer rising sign, which puts Pluto very near the cusp of your eighth house, which would be the house of regeneration, death and rebirth. So that whole idea of rebirthing or regenerating, that's going to be a long-term transit because Pluto isn't going to move slowly. Can I ask a personal question? Okay. Did you suffer through abuses as a child or as a young adult, like sexual abuse, emotional abuse, physical abuse, etc.?
Yes.
Okay. That is also in your eighth house. And so as Pluto begins its passage over here, you are so young still, right? You're 1998.
Yeah.
You're just what? You're not even 20 yet.
Yes.
Those issues... I'm going to be very careful in how I say this, but those issues are going to be coming up over these next several years. Now, having said that, I don't mean they're coming up as in you're going to be abused again. But what happens often is those memories, the repressed memories or the issues that happen tend to start showing up when we get into our 20s, get into our 30s even. And it's because then we begin to, you know, get involved with other people. We get into love relationships or sexual relationships. And if sex was the abuse, then of course that's going to show up or problems are going to show up in that as you end up in a relationship like that. So I just say this for you to be aware of. There's nothing you need to do right now except maybe start being very aware of, you know, beliefs or actions that you take now that are based on this past experience that you had. Because you're not in the past right now, right? You're in the present.
Right.
So just be very careful, right?
Wrong.
Allow yourself to go through anything that you're going through.
So maybe I'll
keep... but don't use it. Don't seal yourself away. And don't be afraid to go through the feelings and the emotions that might come up around this. You're not quite there yet, but are you in a relationship now?
No, I kind of just recently cut it off.
Okay. I can tell you that that is going to probably come back as you get into the fall, winter of this year, as Saturn crosses into the seventh house of relationship in your chart. And right now, then, remember you were talking about Sag energy and all that. So your dad represents an authority figure to you. When you can't help it, right? He's an authority figure.
Right.
He's the Saturn person in your life right now. Unless there's a boss or a big brother or somebody else that has taken, you know, that authority kind of piece in your mind. And right now, I want you to be very aware of the things that he might be reflecting to you. Your dad, that is. Because once it crosses over into the seventh house, you can actually reinvent or you can reconstruct the issues that you've had with your father in the new relationships that come along. And that's not necessarily a positive thing.
Right.
So be willing to ask yourself the questions now about who am I, what am I expressing, how did those abuses affect me, what are my beliefs, and et cetera, et cetera. Do not be afraid to go there. Self-reflection, that's the word I was looking for earlier, right? Do not be afraid to go there. But don't be blaming and don't be, you know, this is not about being ugly. This is about really just allowing yourself to get in touch with this, to accept that it's a part of who you are, the experience is a part of who you are, and to allow it to just move on out of your life. Now, remember when I was talking to James earlier and it was his birthday and we were talking about the 10th and 11th house? All that same stuff that I was telling him is also going on in your chart. This is a good time for you to re-envision yourself. Yeah, re-envision, reimagine, claim your worth, re-evaluate yourself and what you're doing. And that will help you a lot. And if you need more advice, there's always a reading with Jason or one with me that can help you get back on your feet or in the right direction. Okay, Carmen?
All righty. Thank you so much. Wow.
You are most welcome. Thank you. Take care.
Have a nice day.
Okay.
Hope you feel better, James.
You too. Yes. Thank you. Okay, so, Jason.
Yes.
I muted you because
sorry
I hear a conversation you're having.
You know what? I forgot. I didn't put you on mute, and somebody walked into the room who didn't know that I was on the air. So I was like, And then I went. I was even more embarrassing because I went to go and shift my body weight, and I burped, and I laughed. I'm like, oh Jesus. Anyway, so I'm a mess over here.
Well,
that's great.
Guess what? We missed that. I muted you before then, so you're safe.
Oh, good. So you have about 10 minutes left.
Yes, I have about 10 minutes left. Let's see. So what other planet is getting ready to retrograde? There was another one, as if we needed more, right? Oh, yeah, Pluto,
right.
April 20th. Our friend Pluto is also going to move into retrograde formation. Pluto, though, spends a great deal of the year, approximately 6 months or so, in retrograde motion. So it's not something that we are, having to go, oh, my God, Pluto's in retrograde. But what is interesting is that Pluto's in retrograde, you know, sort of in succession of, you know, Mercury being, or first Venus being retrograde, and then Mercury being retrograde, then Saturn moving retrograde. Jupiter, by the way, is still retrograde too. So we have a lot of energy people that is about us getting clean on the inside, right? You can't be clean on the outside unless you've cleaned your inside, and that's what the retrogrades bring us to, getting clarity.
Like a good quality high colonic. Yes, sweetie.
Yeah.
A spiritual
colonic.
Yes,
I kind of like that idea.
Yeah.
Now, what's the difference?
So let me ask you something, because I don't think we've talked about this, but were we just going to do specific episodes or a little portion every week with the Strip Down with Janet?
We were going to do a little segment each week, right? It's a segment of the show.
Yes.
We talk about the basics of astrology. And last week, actually not last week, but the week before, we were talking about where astrology comes from, right? Who suddenly decided we were going to look up at the sky and we were going to start talking about stars and planets that they related to us on the...
Gotcha.
This week in our little segment here, we're going to take a look at some of the gods and planetary information that came to us from our early days. So in the old days, and when by the old days I mean in the time of our Greek philosopher friends, and since you're my Greek god, you have an affinity for this information.
Yes.
The planets were believed to sort of surround the Earth in these concentric spheres. I mean, we didn't really have the observational ability to say, oh, okay, its orbit is eccentric or elliptical or round or this long or that long. So the planets
just went around.
Right. They just went around. And they went around the Earth as opposed to the Sun. Right. So we were very Earth-centric at that time. So the belief was that the soul getting ready to incarnate into this planet descended through each of those planetary spheres or concentric spheres in turn. And as the soul went through each of those planetary spheres, it assumed the characteristics of the sphere as it passed it. So the relationships of the planets to one another and all of that wasn't really about what we know it to be today, but as the soul or person fell through each of these orbits, it dictated the individual fate and character of the person. So, i.e., you're falling through Saturn and Saturn sitting in Capricorn, so you are empowered to be an authority figure, et cetera, et cetera. So I thought it was really interesting because, of course, today we have a lot more bodies than just the seven that we look at. And this concept of us descending through is possibly what really generated our ideas that the planets serve to bring out the characteristics in each of us or become the metaphor, if you will, of what we would be like or what characteristics we would express here on Earth. And I just find that fascinating. It's like, you know, we talk a lot in metaphysics about falling through the veil of forgetting as we, you know, incarnate into this planet. Well, you could almost look like, or you could almost say, okay, well, we're falling through or descending into the energies of these different planets and stars and so forth as on our voyage to incarnation here on the planet. And that's what we're picking up. Right. So then as time goes on and the planets take on mythology or mythic qualities, then the people become endowed with those mythic qualities. Right. So, for example, when we talk about the planet Mars, and I'm going to pick on Mars just because it's easy. Mars was the god of war. Right. And also aggression and assertion and action. And, you know, he was a very powerful.
A real go-getter.
He was very powerful. He's very warlike. So people falling, you know, through the Mars energy then would pick up some of those qualities based on the zodiac sign it was in. And so it becomes that if you looked at it as the Mars god in, I wish I had your chart up in front of me, dang it. I would say, well, we'll use me for an example since I know my Mars is in Leo I am descending through Mars in Leo, picking up the characteristics of action in a very Leo-like way. Generous, optimistic, dramatic. I'm sitting here, if anybody could see me, I'm talking with my hands. And so, interestingly enough, all the planets become gods. Mercury was the god of the messenger god, god of transiting messages between, or ferrying messages between the different hemispheres of the brain, between the other, the underworld and the earth. The planet Venus took on the characteristics of the goddess energy, of femininity, and also the energy of money, as that comes on later, but the energy of resources and how we trade with one another. But I have another interesting story about Venus that gives us a different perspective. Do you want to hear it?
Absolutely.
So I was reading a book one day, and it was about, it's called Saturn Theory, which is a whole other, I should do a show on Saturn Theory. But in ancient Babylonia and in Assyrian times, Venus was ascribed a whole lot of different characteristics pre-Greek times than she is today. So, for example, they described Venus as a goddess with her hair on fire, and whenever she appeared in the skies, there was hell to pay. And
really?
So it was almost like she played the feminine Mars in bringing out the worst of the feminine sorts of energies that you could think of, like, what's that? Hell hath no fury, like a woman scorned. Those kinds of qualities. And she was seen more as a comet flashing through the sky than she was as a planet. And it makes you wonder, where did Venus come from? Like, was she really a planetary comet that came in, got stuck up, it caught up in our orbit here in the solar system and ended up, you know, a planet sister to the Earth? And then as time moves on and she cools down, she stops being this bright Venus red star or whatever she was at the time. Then she takes on the more characteristic feminine qualities that we think of. So by the time we have the Greeks and the Romans looking at astrology, we get a different picture of who Venus is. I find that fascinating.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And you know, when we look at Venus as a planet, she's actually hotter than the planet Mercury. Yet Mercury is closer to the sun. And so she does things her own way. She actually orbits the on her orbit, it is as if she's retrograde, like the Earth is going from where the sun is rising in the east, setting in the west. It's the complete opposite for Venus. So we have a fascinating look here at astrology and a character like Venus and how she's morphed over the course of time. Now, the outer planets haven't so much changed because they were the Titans, right? They were the big guys. They were Saturn and Uranus, and at the time Neptune wasn't discovered yet, but there was, there was a god of the oceans and of the water. And so we have these Titans, and they were seen sometimes as fighting in the sky, or in mythology, they were fighting. And there's even like Uranus, ate somebody's children. I mean, you know, this is like cannibalism in mythology. And
right.
So it's just, we're running out of time, but I at some other point, we want to talk about Elizabeth Hayesh. What's her, how do you say her last name? Hayek. I want to talk about
her. I've always pronounced it. Okay.
Yeah. I want to talk about her take on astrology and where it came from as well. So we may institute another week of this history before we actually get into the basics of astrology.
That would be awesome.
Yeah. So a couple of announcements,
all right,
before
love.
We go. One, next week, April, not next week, but the week after April 13th, we're going to be doing a series on Ceres and Pluto. And I have a special guest, April 20th, Thryn Silverton, who is a medical astrologist, and I'm fascinated with medical astrology, so I hope you'll join us, and she'll be taking some charts and looking at perhaps what some medical things are that are going on in people's lives. And
yes, do me.
That's it for me. Yeah. So Jason will be back next week on Wednesday, 4 p.m., 7 p.m. Eastern, and Living Astrology is back next Thursday. For now, thank you, Jason. I love you. Thank you for joining me, even though you were sick. And for everyone else, have a stellar week. Bye.
Yeah. Yay!